I'm delighted to say that I am joined in studio by Neil Sexton and Sue Cullen. Actually, it is not Eva Mills. It's Sue that's with me from the Northside Partnership. Good morning, people. You're very welcome. Sue, you might pull that over. It'd be easier to talk into it. You have two big initiatives with the Preparing for Life coming up.
Yeah, well, we're good morning, Donny. Yeah, we're very pleased today. We had an event last Friday. We were part of a collaborative project supporting homeless children and families. That collaborative project was selected for an award with the Irish Healthcare Irish Healthcare Awards. So we were selected. We were part of a list of some.
Yes, I did hear that you were nominated for this. And that's to be even nominated, like, it's huge.
We were very proud to be nominated, and it arose from a researcher in an early years coordinator with a program called the Early Learning Initiative in the Docklands, Marion Byrne, who, for her PhD research, she was looking at the experience of homeless children. And found that so many children now are living in homeless shelters, in hotels, in accommodation, in homeless accommodation, and they simply don't have the room to move around. So they don't have, they're in a tiny space with a family. So she came up with the idea of having a playmat with appropriate child development appropriate toys to encourage moms and dads to get down on the floor with baby and to play with baby, and to give them the attention and the physical exercise so that they learn how to grow. They learn how to stand and walk. So she put a pack together of this mat, and working with ourselves and with a group in Ballymun and Finglas and SIPSI, and with funding from Healthy Ireland, we were able to distribute these packs to homeless families in shelters and in hotels, and train up the staff in the space to encourage parents to spend time with the children, so that the children develop their physical ability and their connection with the parents. And it was selected as one of the healthcare community healthcare initiative, and there was a big award ceremony on Friday that Sue was able to attend.
Take it away, Sue.
Yeah, it was brilliant, and it was brilliant to see actually Marion come from an idea to actually implementation. It was absolutely brilliant to be part of that, and I suppose it has been disseminated right across all of the hubs and within North Dublin and hotels, so really tackling those who were at risk, and it's been well received by not only the workers, like the Focus Ireland workers, but also the families that received the playmat.
It's a comment I have made, because there isn't an Northside Today week, and we're on air 11 till 1, Monday to Friday, every week. There isn't a week goes by, but we have one, two, and sometimes three topics which revolve around the housing crisis, emergency, whatever else you want to call it. Now, probably a little bit outside your field, but I will put it to you, and if you want to take it, well and good, that the housing crisis and the situation as described by yourself, Neil, of young children from baby up to teens growing up in these family hubs or B&Bs or hotels or whatever else, we are storing up a world of social hurt in the years to come.
Absolutely, I agree entirely. We've had a 400% increase in child homelessness in the last 5 years in Ireland.
Neil, can I just stop you there for 1 second? If for the benefit of the listeners and anybody who might have dropped a mug of tea out of their hand listening to that, can you just repeat that statistic for me again?
And that's a 400% increase in child homelessness in 5 years. So those are figures that Focus Ireland compiled. Focus Ireland were one of the partners in this project. We're looking at more than 3,700 homeless children in Ireland, in emergency accommodation, in shelters, in hubs. So, you know, everybody loves to go to a hotel. A couple of nights in a hotel is great, but if you're there for 2 years, that's a very significant impact. So many of our families, we would be working with families in hotels and hotel rooms. And, you know, you're trying to have a family life with one, two, three children in a room. So we've had parents tell us that they turn off the light at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, because the youngest baby has to go to sleep. So how does the teenager do their homework? So we are storing up, as you say, a very significant impact. There was a recent report which showed that children were not developing physically. They didn't have the physical strength in their bodies because they were being carted around, families were looking for apartments. They're going to on visits to find an apartment, and the kids are in a bus or in a car, or they're in a buggy. So they're not getting the physical activity that we know kids need. And then there's the stress, the consistent stress. So I guess this project really was trying to engage at that and to give parents, it doesn't solve the problem of homelessness, but it's an intervention that will help in the short term. Obviously what we need are appropriate housing, affordable housing across the nation. But this particular project deals with a specific issue that we were seeing of children not being able to develop in a way that's appropriate so that we can help them reach their milestones.
Yeah, and for those of you who were lucky enough to be listening to the first interview this morning with Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland, she did comment that there was almost 4,000 homeless children in the country, a fact borne out by Neil there in his last submission to us. But this 400% increase in homeless children comes parallel and at the same time as Ireland has experienced the biggest financial growth of any country in the EU. When I was going to school, 2 and 2 made 4. 2 and 2 are not making 4 on this one. You know what I mean? Now, that's one aspect of it, and it's an interesting point you make. Disturbing point and a very upsetting point, Neil, about children in emergency accommodation or hubs or whatever phrase they want to use this week, not developing physically. But obviously, if they're not developing physically, they're not developing mentally either, Sue.
Well, there's going to be a huge impact, and I think we have to acknowledge that this bomb is yet to explode around the children's mental health and well-being. We're really concerned about the social and emotional side to the child's development, that this isn't. It's going to be impacted hugely, but also the child-parent relationship as well. Parents are under huge pressure just to try and get the children still have the routines in place for the children. But like Niall had commented on, some parents are going to bed at 6 and 7 o'clock in the evening because they don't want any further disruptions to the child's routine, and they're trying to, I suppose, get adequate sleep for the child, you know, adequate food. We know ourselves, obesity is going to be a huge problem as well, because children are just not getting the right nutrients that they should be getting, because they haven't got access to kitchens, you know, they haven't got the appropriate resources or tools to like cook their own home cooked meals. So there's going to be a lot of side effects to this.
And of course, the other thing, as we know, is learned behaviour. So, yes, I suppose, as a generation, and I'm throwing a very big blanket over this because if you were here, you would see that there's a big disparity in age between Sue and myself. But can you imagine the generation that those kids are going to be rearing? And as you know from your work, everything to do with a child is learned behaviour. Up to the age of 4 or 5, and you know the old saying, show me the boy at 7 and I'll show you the man.
Yeah, that's a concern, because these children, like you would hope that parents are going to model really, really good behaviour. But when parents are under this amount of stress and pressure, it's very...
Oh, don't get me wrong. So I'm not saying it's the parents' fault.
I know that.
For one minute, but I'm just thinking of both what you and Niall have said about the physical and the mental impact on this generation. So when they reach the age of whatever in their 20s and they start having children, I mean, I'm just...
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the society we're going to have.
I know. And I definitely know that you weren't sort of putting the blame on his parents, but I just think that added pressure of what parents are being exposed to, because they're trying the best to be the best models, role models that they can for the children. But yet this has been, you know, it's unfortunate they can't because they're so limited. So yeah, the children are the ones that are really, really going to suffer. But also it's having a real effect on parents being able to really enjoy their children. So this is not, so it's affecting everybody within the unit.
Tell me this, lads, from your work with the triple P and with the preparing for life, and I mean, I have done numerous interviews at this stage in relation to it. I think I know it probably as well as yourselves. But I just think it's such a fantastic project and programme. I think you couldn't say enough good things about it. Are the effects, and I mean, when you came in this morning, we certainly weren't going to be talking, or didn't think we'd be talking about homeless children, but seeing as we're on the topic, and let's be honest, it's something that needs to be talked about. Are the ill effects, because like Neil said, I can't imagine any positive effect of being in a hotel for 2 years, are the negative effects starting to show up in schools at this stage with them?
Well, I think what's important to focus on is, I mean, I'm aware that we may have families in hubs and hotels listening to us today. And I think it's important to say that we can do. There are things that parents can do. There are things that organisations can do. And I think there's things that the nation can do. If we make a decision to invest in prevention and early intervention. So we're one of 13 sites around the country that are focused on, have a range of programmes supporting families and children. Similar to us at a local level, and there's some real common threads to each of these organisations. First of all, we focus on prevention, so we're trying to get in there before there's a problem, so that we provide support around how to care for your child, how to support, how to be the best parent you can be, so that we don't end up paying for occupational therapy or psychology or healthcare later on. So it's a prevention model. Secondly, we do early intervention. So we get in there as early as possible. So we're working with pregnant families, pregnant moms. So it's hard to get earlier than that. And from right the way through until age 5, we're engaged with the family, and then even beyond with our Triple P program. So all of these organizations, you get the better outcomes if you invest early, the earlier you invest. And the other bit that's part of it is that it's an interagency approach. We're not operating on our own. We have very strong collaborations with the HSE, with TUSLA, with local organisations. We're blessed in Darndale to have the number of organisations and a really strong relationship. And that's the case in all of the other sites around that have this type of intervention. And the final bit is that we're all using evidence-based programmes. We don't just think that's a nice idea, we'll try it. All of the projects, all of the programs and interventions we use have been tested to see, do these work? And if they work, we continue doing them. If it's proved that they don't work, we don't do them. So I guess we have the opportunity, if the state has certainly started to invest and move towards early intervention. And I guess we're really interested to see that expand. We know it works. We have the evidence from the sites that we have. And tomorrow there's an opportunity to meet with all of the ABC sites. These are the groups that are funded under this programme, from Finglas, from Ballymun, from Talla, from Clondalkin, from Limerick, and Cork and Louth, are all coming together to showcase the work that's happened, and to say this works. We have the evidence for it, and we want to continue doing it.
Where is that taking place?
That's in the Davenport on Marion Square tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to 1:30, 1 o'clock. So anyone is welcome to come along and understand, get a sense of what early intervention and prevention work is about, to see the kind of results that have come about, and to talk to all of the staff who've been engaged in this process. So we really would be very happy to invite members of the public, politicians. We really want to say this works, this needs more investment, we have the proof, but we need to continue doing it in the future so we don't end up with crisis later on.
Can I ask you a question, and whichever one of you wants to take this one, because again the clock is about to beat us, but have we kicked, or should I say, have you kicked these findings and results up the line to an appropriate government department, and if so, have we had anything back?
So TUSLA is now, what would you like to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
So TUSLA now is our fundus. So, and they, I suppose, fully in support of Prepared and Life and continue with Prepared and Life's original model. We've obviously evolved in so many ways since the beginning in regards to the randomised control trial, but they're very much about getting this programme out to as many parents as we can within the North Dublin areas. We're currently looking at opening our gates up to the areas of Kilbarrach, Edenmore, Clongriffin and Balmain as a response, because the public health nurses are identifying a lot of families who need this, so we're trying to respond to that. So yes, they are very much in support of it. One of the things we do have actually, if we're looking at supporting the randomised control trial, we tracked the families, as you know, for 5 years. We went back into the field there more recently to track the families now that they're age 9 and 10, just to see whether the results were sustainable, and we're going to be launching them results, which were actually really interesting, in November.
I will say that a little birdie told me what the results were, and they're startling. Guys, listen, so sorry. Niall, Sue,
thank you very much.
Thanks a million for coming in. Well done. Keep up the good work. And like I said last week, all I can do on behalf of everybody here at NIR and the public at large out there is thank you for the unbelievable work you're doing. It's absolutely brilliant. Thanks a million, guys.
Thank you very much.